What is up, everyone? We are back for another episode of Talking Troy. My name is Joshua Sacker, joined by Michelle Chavez and Casey Kazliner. Today, we will be dissecting the NFL draft and looking at which Trojans can make an impact this year. What do you guys think are some big key points coming into this draft?
I mean, I don't want to be Captain Obvious, but we all know Caleb Williams is going to go number one. I mean, he deserves it, too. He's the best quarterback in the country. But at the end of the day, you know, I think when we're looking at this draft, I think USC has plenty of contenders to go in the early rounds. I think we were talking about it, you know, the NFL draft is one of those things where, yes, there's guys that are going to be mocked in a lot of different places, but also the scheme fit for a lot of these guys can rely on, you know, what team is picking. So I think, yes, Caleb is the guy to look out for from a USC angle. But at the same time, Brendan Rice, Taj Washington, you know, the receiving core from last year definitely could go off the board. And some defensive guys like Kalen Bulk, I'm sure we'll all talk about that. But I'm excited to hear Caleb Williams' name go number one because, you know, obviously when you go to the school players drafted at, you're going to root for that player. And, you know, I think for Caleb Williams, he's had such a storied college career already, running the Heisman, having a down year last year, even though he had an electric season and obviously transferring over from Oklahoma. So I think for him, he's starting the next chapter. He's joining a team that has a lot of good pieces to start, and Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and, you know, a very deep roster that's sort of forming over there in Chicago. So I think it's an exciting time for Caleb Williams.
Definitely agree. How about you, Michelle?
I agree with everything Casey said. Obviously, it's almost 100% guaranteed that he's going to the Bears. Justin Field just signed with the Steelers, so there's that opening for Caleb to fill. The thing is, nobody wants him to go to the Bears, like the general public, just because of the historic record that the Bears have with turning these top talents and then not producing as many results. But we've seen Caleb kind of, especially coming in his sophomore year after he was brought over from Oklahoma, he kind of turned a team over. And had some really great success. And then aside from that, we have like Brendan Rice, Marshawn Lloyd, Taj Washington. And so there's other key players that would make an impact regardless of the teams that they go to, or like regardless of what number they're called in to any team that they go to. So it'll be interesting to see how they're going to fit in with the 36 different possibilities of them ending up at.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think a player I really want to focus on is Marshawn Lloyd. I think right now he's projected to go 92 to the Buccaneers in the third round based off a NFL.com mock draft. However, I think to your point, Casey, about schemes, I think he can be a very efficient goal line back for a lot of these teams. He can also catch the ball out of the backfield. So I'll be very interested to see which teams end up selecting him. You see 9 touchdowns in both of the past 2 seasons. I think he can definitely produce. And I'm interested to see which team takes him or if he'll fall a little bit. And then back to the Caleb point, I totally agree. Like, as a USC fan, it's hard to see him go to a team like the Bears, who over and over are messing up with these top tier talents. I think a lot of people have been very critical of Caleb over this offseason. I don't think that should change his draft stock whatsoever, just because he lives a little, he goes to paints his nails, he's sitting courtside for a basketball game. I don't think that has anything to do with his style of play. That he didn't go to a pro day. I mean, didn't go to the NFL combine. All of his stats are on film. There's not much you need to see. He's a generational type quarterback. I think the best product since Andrew Luck. And it'll be very interesting to see how he's graced by Chicago on draft night and for seasons to come.
I think the interesting thing is he, you know, for his entire collegiate career, he had Lincoln Riley as his head coach. And we all know Lincoln Riley is an offensive-minded coach. That's why USC's defense has not been the strong suit. But he's also a very good coach at producing quarterback talent. And so to go from, you know, a guy he's very familiar with, I'm sure they have great chemistry. I mean, he refers to him as Lincoln. It's not ever Coach or Coach Riley. It could be an interesting fit. I mean, obviously, he's been meeting with the Bears for multiple weeks, maybe months at this point. You know, at the pro day, he met up with Keenan Allen. Like, there's obviously chemistry forming. So I wonder how that's going to shape out, especially, like you said, Caleb Williams. You know, the off the field stuff it's not alarming to me. I mean, I think, you know, like you said, he's a multi-million dollar quarterback already in college. He's a guy that's flamboyant and he's unique and he, you know, is very confident, but at the same time, he's cocky and he's a rookie going into the NFL on a team in, you know, kind of like a nitty gritty team at Soldier Field, like a team that's had a lot of failure over the past few years. So I think, you know, I wonder how he'll gel with his Chicago teammates. But yeah, back to the other guys. Caleb's great, but there's plenty of other guys to talk about. I think Marshawn Lloyd, like you said, I think he'd be a great fit on the Cowboys. The Cowboys didn't do much over the offseason. They lost Tony Pollard. Obviously, you know, they've had Ezekiel Elliott as their main running back for years, and now they don't have a good running back room at all. Their running backs are no names at this point. So I think a guy like Marshawn Lloyd, who's one of the better running backs in this draft class, I think could be a great fit. I'm interested, though, in Brandon Rice as well, because obviously he's a bigger guy. He's a strong receiver. He can catch the deep ball. He's, you know, had Caleb Williams as his quarterback at USC and transferred over from Colorado. I think he'd be a great fit on certain teams. I think he could. I don't ever see him being a top receiving option, but I think, you know, we saw what Puka Nacua did last year. He was a later round draft pick and out of a BYU, like school west of the Mississippi, so is Brandon Rice. And I think, you know, we see receivers all the time kind of break out. Plenty of receivers in history that weren't highly touted and go and do great things. So I think Brandon Rice, you know, he's got that pedigree. He's played at college for a while. I think he could be a great fit on a team like the 49ers who, you know, could need a third receiving option, or there's plenty of teams that can always use that depth.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Right now, he's projected to go 120th to the Eagles right now. And going off that idea of needing a third receiver, obviously they just signed Smith to a long-term contract. They already have Brown locked up to a long-term contract. To have that third guy, I think he's a great goal line piece with his big frame. He caught 12 touchdowns last year. So I think definitely being a threat in the red zone and also in the deep game, I think giving Jalen Hurts another weapon would be great for the Eagles. Additionally, I think when it comes to Rice, he obviously has the intangibles. He also has the last name. I think I'm interested to see how his last name will affect his draft stock. Obviously, we've seen in the men's basketball game how Bronny's draft stock has been altering because of the last name of James. So I want to know, obviously, his dad is the greatest receiver, arguably one of the greatest football players ever in Jerry Rice. So we'll see how the last name affects where teams will take him.
I think with that, too, a lot of CBS draft mock drafts have him going 94th in the third round to the Niners. The thing about having a dad with such a huge legacy is that that's a lot of pressure coming in as a rookie, and obviously he knows that. Obviously he's experienced that through his collegiate level, but I think it does prove more of a barrier to him, because if he doesn't have the best rookie season, which a lot of rookies don't, because it's a huge change going from collegiate to professional in the NFL, it'll hurt him. I'm interested to see if he... I don't know if he'll make the starting roster right away, depending on what he shows, if he gets to the Niners, if he goes and follows his dad's former team. But it would definitely be interesting to see how he manages both the pressure from the professional aspect of it and then also giving the fans what they want in the caliber that his dad once had.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing is, like, if between Taj Washington and Brandon Rice, I think Brandon Rice obviously is the more... You know, he's being mocked much earlier, of course, but I think from a simple skill set level, I think Brandon Rice is a guy that has a better chance of actually making a roster. I don't think he would, especially if he goes to a team like San Francisco or Philly, teams that are stacked on offense already. But like I said earlier, he has an NFL frame. He's a very fast guy. He put up pretty good measurables at the pro day and in the combine, I believe. And Taj Washington's an interesting case because he had a really good breakout season this past year. He eclipsed 1,000 yards for the first time, but he's also older. It was his fifth season at the college level. He's also not a big guy, though. He's listed as 5'10", 175 pounds on ESPN. Not a liability, per se. Like, could be a good slot guy, but, you know, for teams in the draft that want to get guys NFL ready, I just don't know if that's there. But moving to the defensive side, how about Kalen Bullock? I mean, obviously, you know, coming into the year, he was very highly scouted. You know, obviously the USC defense had that blunder against Tulane. They're looking to get better. Spoiler alert, they didn't. But Kalen Bullock was one of the few bright spots at times on the defense this year. He had some blunders, had a few pick sixes, which were cool. But, you know, obviously he's a guy that was projected to go in the first two rounds and still by many sources is. But given the abundance of defensive backs, Cooper DeJean, there's a lot of other guys early on, I don't know if he'll necessarily be able to, you know, have a highly touted name in, you know, as a secondary guy. So What do you guys think about the defensive side of the ball in general, beyond Bullock as well?
Well, first I'm going to touch on Bullock, but I think he's someone that can be a huge ball hawk in the secondary. I think in 2022 we saw the 5 interceptions, 172 returning yards, obviously had a pick six. I think that's very important to have a guy that can fly around on the defensive end and make up for ground and make plays. I think one thing he needs to work on is tackling. I think there were a couple games last year where a little bit of a lack of effort didn't. USC obviously was terrible at gang tackling together, but I think he's a little lackadaisical at sometimes. I think he makes up for that in his athleticism, in the plays he makes in the secondary. But I'll be interested to see if teams are going to focus more on his tackling and kind of his effort, or more on his pure athleticism in the plays he can make in the secondary.
Yeah, I know a lot of scouts have him as a potential impact player. Like you said, Josh, it's mostly when it comes to certain things that he doesn't necessarily, or he's not at that level where he would be for a good stock. But when it comes to like pass coverage, he's really, really good in deep high defender and man-on-man coverage. And he's really fast. He can cover a lot of ground. He's very versatile. So I think that will help him eventually. And he is a good size. So it just really depends on what team is willing to work with him to raise all of his weaknesses up and better him in that sense. And then also just, I mean, he right now, or like a week ago, he was ranked in the second round. So it really depends on what the team wants.
Yeah, I think another guy, I don't know if he'll necessarily get drafted, but I could see him going undrafted or maybe sneaking in the seventh round, is Eric Gentry, the linebacker. He had an all right season. You know, obviously when you're on the USC defense, you're going to stand out no matter what if you, you know, have some good numbers. But he had a big game against Cal and, you know, had a forced fumble in that game. And I think he's a guy that I could see going off the board maybe in the seventh round. But I think, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, I think a lot of Trojan fans are just excited to see what possible NFL talents could come in the next few years. I mean, Bear Alexander, you know, reported now he's staying with the team, at least for now, could be a name that we see go off maybe in the next few years or so. But I don't know. I think for USC that I could see potential 4 or 5 guys getting picked this year. And I think, you know, obviously there's a lot of tropes about every single college football team, USC being known as tailback U, and, you know, for example, Iowa being known as tight end U. I think this year, this is going to be the year where USC shows that they're beyond that. And I think, you know, the wide receivers have been pretty abundant in the recent years. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster,
Drake London,
Nelson Aguilar, list goes on. But I think finally having a quarterback in Caleb Williams who is star-studded as ever. I mean, Carson Palmer was very, very star-studded. Of course, Matt Leinart as well, and plenty of other guys over the years. But Sam Darnold too. But none of those guys really – Carson Palmer translated, but –
I was going to say, Carson Palmer is probably the only one of those big-name Heisman-winning – well, Darnold was a Heisman winner, but big-name quarterbacks that have transitioned, and I'm interested to see if Caleb will be able to break the curse and kind of follow after.
And Palmer was good, but he was by no means ever a Super Bowl-winning quarterback or anything of that degree, and he was sort of a journeyman as well and had actually some good years in Arizona towards the end of his career. But I think for Caleb, this is a guy that's being compared to Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, a guy who – is expected to turn Chicago from an irrelevant team that just never can get it done, at least since 1985. And I think they're really trying to change that narrative, especially in a division like the NFC North, where you have the Lions, who are really, really good, the Packers, who made the playoffs last year, nearly defeated San Francisco. Vikings, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with them, losing Kirk Cousins, but they could draft a quarterback early. I've heard J.J. McCarthy was rumored to go there. Who knows, maybe they get Bo Nix. They have an early – maybe they trade up and get Drake May. I've heard that rumor as well at number 2. So we'll see what happens. I mean, they're going to have to rise up if they want to keep Justin Jefferson around, who's a top 3 receiver in the NFL. And you could even make the argument for best. I mean, he's electric. So I think that division, going into a division like that right away where, you know, you traded Justin Fields, this is, a team that is kind of pulling itself out of the ground. I think Caleb, there's a lot of pressure on him. But he's risen to the pressure at USC. Yes, he had a down year this year, but sometimes was his fault. You know, it's Trojan fans go back and forth. You know, how much of the season's woes were Caleb's fault? I think personally some of them were, some of them weren't. I think a lot of it was the defense, but he did have some blunders like any quarterback would. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to be a really big challenge. Going to Chicago as opposed to Washington Commanders, which would have been the second most likely option, I think is a lot harder. Even though he will have very, very good receivers and and a good team on offense, probably by and large. I think given the division, and it's just a lot tougher than the NFC East for sure.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think there will not only be pressure on Caleb to win the division and perform his rookie year, but I think kind of similar to when we saw guys like Luck come out of the draft, Trevor Lawrence, like if Caleb is not a first ballot Hall of Famer, people will view his career as a failure, which is obviously not a fair pressure on him, but that's kind of what the media has shaped his career to be because of how fantastic he was in college. Really quickly, just touching back on the defensive side, I don't think he'll be drafted, but Solomon Bird, I'm interested to see if teams will pick him up as an undrafted free agent, just because 2023, you saw he had 48 total tackles, 6 sacks, 4 forced fumbles. I think he's a guy on the defensive end. I think he's in the sub 4.5 40, so he can really fly around the edge. I think he'll be interested to see if teams take a flyer on him, maybe late 7th round. And he can. I think he's definitely someone that needs to be developed, but can develop into a solid pass rusher for teams if they want to take that risk on him.
I think he didn't have the best athletic testing numbers at the combine, and he also just overall isn't somebody whose name would be high up on a team's mind, but he could be really good backup for any team. And like you were saying, they could incorporate him well into whatever system and kind of give him a couple years to see how that works out. But on Casey's point about Chicago, their defense has been getting better, whether that's because they've played easier teams last season or not, but there has been an increase in the amount of success that Chicago's defense has. So I think it'd be interesting for Caleb to go in there knowing that USC's defense wasn't the best and he still managed to make at least something out of it, whether you count last year or last season as like a total failure or not, which it wasn't. So I think Chicago's been making progress without him, and I think he would be really good to contribute and continue that progress. And I mean, as somebody who grew up in Wisconsin, we always hate on Chicago, but genuinely there's been talk and it's like this could be a year where they're not going to have a tremendous season. Like, they're just not. But it would be one of the better seasons that they've had in a long time.
Definitely agree. A point, Casey, that you brought up, obviously we love to talk about USC, but I just want to talk about the overall draft really quick because you mentioned how McCarthy might go 4th. Right now this mock draft that I have up has Caleb going 1, Jaden Daniels 2, Drake May 3, and J.J. McCarthy 4. I just wonder if you guys think that teams are putting too much emphasis. I know they're the franchise player. I know they're the commander of the offense. But do you think teams are putting too much value in quarterbacks, that the first 4 picks off the draft are all going to be quarterbacks, when guys like Marvin Harrison Jr. are falling to the 5th pick when he's arguably the best draft prospect?
I don't think so, because I think this is one of those years where you have to take the quarterbacks given the abundance of them. And there's a lot of teams that need QBs. I can think just off the top of my head, the Raiders need a quarterback. The Bears, of course, need a quarterback. Washington Commanders need a quarterback. The Vikings need a quarterback. Like, that's 4 right there. Whereas in previous years, I mean, we saw in 2022, Trayvon Walker go 1st overall. And, you know, that was a weird pick to me. I mean, it made sense at the time, but looking back, it's weird. And I think it kind of goes to show that, you know, in this draft, the quarterback, this is the year of the quarterback. And last year, same could be said, but last year there was a lot kind of controversy. Who should go 1? It wasn't bona fide. It was, is it C.J. Stroud? Is it Bryce Young? I personally thought C.J. Stroud was going to go 1. I'm not trying to say I predicted it.
Okay.
I'm not trying to pull the LeBron. I knew Kobe was going to score 80 points, but I thought C.J. Stroud would go 1, and he ended up being the best rookie by far on offense. But this year, it's one of those things where you have the top 2, and then you have a bunch of other guys who are up there, really. And I mean, we see in the Pac-12 alone, right? Michael Penix Jr., Bo Nix, Caleb Williams, all those guys at some point have been Heisman contenders. But there is a significant difference still, I think, between Caleb and those others. He's on a higher echelon than those others. And J.J. McCarthy is an interesting case too, because yes, you won the national championship, but how much of that is having Harbaugh as your coach and having a great team? So I think I see your point, but I also think this year, if you're going to draft a quarterback, make it one of those top guys. And Marvin Harrison Jr., generational talent. You know, obviously he's the best receiver in college football by a mile. But I think at the end of the day, when you have this abundance of QBs, you have to take advantage of it if you don't have a QB. I think if you're drafting just to draft a QB and to have a backup who's never, like a guy who's never going to see the field, kind of like what the Packers did with Jordan Love, which, spoiler alert, worked out. But it, at the time, it seemed weird. But I think given the, you know, I named five teams or so that need quarterbacks, I think it makes sense.
No, I definitely agree. I think quarterback is the most important position, so you want to draft them if that's a need for your team. I just think, don't get me wrong, J.J. McCarthy was my mom went to Michigan, huge Michigan fan. I think he has a lot of talent. Do I think he's a top four overall pick? Not by a long shot. Bo Nix, same thing. He's projected to go 11. Was he a Heisman contender for a bit? Yes, but he's also extremely old, and I just think teams sometimes put extreme value on the quarterback because they think each year if they're not in a position to win, each year they think, okay, for example, the Giants. I think they took Daniel Jones way too early, and look how that ended up for them. Now they're going to take J.J. McCarthy at four, and I think in a couple years we'll be looking back, scratching our heads, wondering why all these quarterbacks went so early. I know it happens every year. They're the most important player, but I think there's guys, I mean, the Chargers are going to be screaming from the rafters that they have Marvin Harrison fall in their lap to play with Herbert. I just think a lot of these guys are being overvalued just because of their position.
And I guess to some extent that's true, but again, I think a lot of teams also, they think they get a good quarterback, all their problems will be solved, or the majority of them would be solved, because once you have a good quarterback, you can kind of hurdle in the rest. But it really just depends. And if a team is looking long-term and they're like, oh, I don't think our current quarterback is going to stay, or they see the stock that they currently have and they're like, we need replacements, like Casey said, they might as well take advantage of it and just see how it works out. Ultimately, it's just we're not the people making decisions, and so there's a whole different thought process that goes in behind that, so it just really depends on the team.
That's true. I agree with that. As well as being the year of the quarterback, I think it's also a huge year for wide receivers. We see Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr., Xavier Worthy, obviously Marvin Harrison Jr. How do you guys think these receivers are going to pan out in their careers?
I mean, I think good. I think we've seen recently the receiver position has just been when guys – there's obviously been outliers like Kadarius Toney who just do nothing, but – I think really a lot of these early receivers in recent years, I mean, we see Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase, and these guys recently, they get picked and they immediately become stars. Obviously, like I said, there's been many occasions where they haven't, but I think the point I'm trying to make is if I had to choose one position that has panned out the most, I think on offense at least, it's receiver. But I also wanted to put up one tidbit that, yes, it's also the year of the quarterback, but it's also a year where there's not many pending free agents from the quarterback position. Trey Lance is the best quarterback who's a pending free agent.
Wow.
Joshua Dobbs is also, and Brandon Allen. Those are the only three that are listed here on SportTrack. So I think that's a really interesting thing, considering a lot of QBs are probably going to be set in stone for the time being, unless, you know, a situation arises where they need to be traded. But I think it really makes teams wonder if, you know, this is, you know, if they don't draft a QB, are they missing out? Because, you know, if you don't have one, there's not many good ones to sign when the offseason comes around. So yeah,
it's true. One quarterback I'm actually very interested to see where he lands is Jordan Travis. I think obviously he had an incredible year at Florida State, brought them to an undefeated season.
Should have went
to the college football playoff. That's a debate for another time. But I think it'll be very interested. As a Jets fan, I would love to see the Jets take a late round flyer on him, maybe like fourth or fifth round, so that he can learn behind Rodgers and hopefully take over in the future. But I mean, we just see constantly these late round guys, obviously Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, but these late round guys kind of slipping through the cracks and having great careers. I'm not necessarily talking about a team not drafting a quarterback for the entire draft. I'm just saying the idea that they need to get one of the perceived top ones, as opposed to finding, obviously it's much harder and the scouting needs to be great, but finding one of those diamonds in the rough later round quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I mean, we saw Brock Purdy almost win a Super Bowl this year. And there's so many guys that go unnoticed. But again, it really just depends on what each franchise wants and how it pans out. I know there's a lot of shifts in stock based on performances at the combine. And then also just as you get closer and closer, a lot of guys will start to reveal different things that people might have not picked up on earlier in scouting, and so that also depends. But we'll see.
Definitely. Okay, we're kind of wrapping up here. Do you guys have any more final points before the NFL draft?
I'm excited. I think it's one of those events where yes, it's grueling. It takes forever to get from pick to pick, but I think it's delayed gratification. That's the phrase I would use to describe it.
Yeah. Every year you love sitting down, whether with your friends, your family, seeing if your favorite team will pick the player that you want or the GM will just make an atrocious pick. As a Jets fan, I've suffered many of those, but I'm hoping for another Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson type of draft. So
maybe not a Zach Wilson draft.
No, not a Zach Wilson draft. But it was awesome talking with you guys today. Signing off.
This episode of Talkin' Troy was hosted by Joshua Sacker, Michelle Chavez, and Casey Kasliner, produced by Darren Perry, and edited by Jack Hallinan. Talkin' Troy is one of three episodes on the Daily Trojan Podcast Network, and you can listen to it anywhere you listen to podcasts. Thank you.